On with prayer request. If you ever have prayer needs that you want us to pray for on Sunday morning, I ask that you would just fill out a little piece of paper and you put it up on the desk here or give it to any of the staff and they'll make sure that I get it. We'd love to be able to pray for the needs that we have in our church. I am also feeling much better with my cold, so I'm grateful for that. There's a young man who arrived a little early to pick up his girlfriend for their date. And she ran to the door with wet hair, no makeup, and was quite embarrassed about the whole thing. And so to make the best of the situation, she looks at him, she smiles and says, "Well, what do you think?" And he grinned and very wisely said, "It looks like something beautiful is about to happen." So wonderful, very wise young man. Several years later, though, they did get married. And he came home to find his wife in curls, big pink curls, again, no makeup on. And he looked at her and he said, "What happened to your hair?" And she said, "I set it." To which he replied caustically, "When does it go off? Like a bomb? Poof." You know, I wasn't very nice, of course. Well, both those situations are funny, but only one of those things was kind. And when you think about it, both of those situations had to do with words. Words that were spoken. And words can either devastate a person or they can delight a person. Words can tear down or words can build up. And in the scriptures, in a book that we know as the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs, written by Solomon, the majority of them, we find a lot about the power of words and about what words can do. And in that book, we find words like tongue and mouth and lips. We find it about 150 times throughout 30 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So I think it's very clear to us that words are important. In fact, they're so important that Genesis 1 reminds us that the entire universe came into existence simply because God said, "Let there be," and there was. God said it, and it happened. The words of God are powerful. Jesus himself is referred to as what? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The words of God are powerful. I would say the words that we speak are also very powerful to the people that hear them and respond to them. Listen to what Proverbs 18:21 says. The tongue has the power of, anybody know the next two words? You can look at your sheet, it'll tell you. Life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So our words either launch life or they deliver death. Everything that you've said this week either brought life to someone or death to someone. Our words are powerful. So the question is what makes them so powerful? What is it about words that make them powerful? Well, for one, you can write this down. Words are everywhere. Everywhere we go, there are words. Researchers have said that we open our mouths, some of us maybe more, 700 times a day, with approximately 18,000 words being spoke. That's just the beginning for some people that I know. But if we speak too much, we are bound to say something that will either build somebody up or tear them down. I think Jesus understood this in Matthew 12:37. "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You'll be condemned. Words are everywhere. Not only are they everywhere, words penetrate within. They go deep into us. Proverbs 12:18, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing." We talked about with the kids, you think about a sword. Every time I've seen it on a TV show, it's not good what happens when a sword pokes into you. It pierces. Our words do the same thing. They either bring emotional life to people or emotional death. We've probably all experienced both of those where someone spoke something kind to us and built us up or tore us down. Proverbs also says in Proverbs 12, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word, what can it do? It cheers it up." You can be feeling bad and have someone say the right word and all of a sudden you're just like, "Oh, I can deal with this." Think about a time when someone just said the right word to you at the right moment and you go, "Oh yeah, it's not as bad as it is." Or, "I'm not as bad as I think I am. I'm not as far behind as I really thought I was." But then you think about that word that someone spoke and it tore you down. And for some of us, those words were spoke decades ago. But they still hurt as much. So words penetrate within. And then, not only do they penetrate within, they spread far and wide. It just spreads very, very quickly. Proverbs 16:27 says, "A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire." When I think of that, I just think of what we've watched on the news in California. And at the time that I was doing this, I think it was on Friday, I Googled the fire that's happening there. Over 290,000 acres have been burnt to the ground. Over 75 residences and lots of other things burnt. A very small fire started and it flamed into a raging fire. And words can do the same thing so fast. Words spread far and wide. And because of those words, most of the time we don't remember the real good ones. We remember the ones that are hurtful. Proverbs lists all kinds of examples of how the tongue can be used to hurt and destroy and to kill. Here's just a few of the examples. Here's one of the ones we need to be so careful of. It's gossip. Gossip. Of course, none of us in here have ever struggled with that. I'm so glad. This is Pompey Community Church. That's not an issue of ours. Listen to what the scripture says. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Avoid them. If someone is telling you something about someone else, you can be sure they're telling somebody else something about you. If someone's talking about you, they're talking to somebody else about you as well. Gossip hurts. So do angry words. Some of us have been around angry people. It's not a lot of fun. We've experienced the destruction that can come. Proverbs 29:22, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. We all have a degree of anger in us. Some of us on a far side, and it can just be so devastating. So we need to be so careful. Lying words, lying hurts. It's so hard to gain the trust of somebody that you've lied to and they've caught you in it. Proverbs 6:17, we read, it says, a lying tongue is one of the six things that God hates. He hates a lying tongue. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. It's so easy just to slip a little bit of untruth in, isn't it? Just a little bit, all of a sudden we say, well, you know, I was there, when we know we weren't there. And then impulsive speech, Proverbs 29:20. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. All of a sudden, before you think about it, the foot is in the mouth and it's way deep down in there and you go, oh, I wish I hadn't have said that. We just don't stop to think. I wish I could tell you that I've never struggled with any of those. It's been about 6 years, if I can remember correctly. These last four items have not been an issue for me. Not, right? I think every one of us have struggled with that. I don't believe any one of us wake up in the morning, think, I wish I could be a gossip today. I wish I could be an angry person. I wish I could be a liar, an impulsive speaker. I don't think we do that. But the reality is we do. And we probably struggle in other ways. So what do we do to make a change, if that's something that we find ourselves doing because of our human nature? What do we do to grow, to gain control? One way we could do it is maybe we need to learn to tame the tongue. We need to tame the tongue. And when we do that, the words we speak can be words that will build up instead of tear down. It'll be a mouth of righteousness. It's a mouth that's a fountain of life. How do we do that? Well, this morning, I have a top 10 list. It's not like, it's a little like David Letterman's from the late night show. I'm going to talk about 10 items that we can find from the book of Proverbs. And you'll find that little handout in there to save those who put, my wife actually does, puts all the verses in the Proclaim projector that we have. And I've got tons of scripture that I'm going to say. I didn't want you to look up there all the time. I wanted you to look at me just a little bit. Take the sheet home and you can look at all those different places that I'm referring to, so you can take that sheet home with you. But we're going to look at this top 10 list. You could call it the top 10 tongue-taming tools, or the 10 top ways to avoid slipping with your speech, or 10 top ways to stop trespassing with your tongue. You can call it whatever way you want to, but we get the idea that we need to be careful. We need to guard our tongues. And Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself from calamity. Anybody here want to keep themselves from calamity? I know that's me. So let's take a look. You can write down this very first one if you're a writer. Think more, speak less. Think more. Most of my mouth mistakes are made simply because I don't engage my mouth first. I've experienced very, very many times, Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. All of a sudden I say something, it comes out without thinking, and it's with either my wife or my kids, my coworkers, and all of a sudden I'm going, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And if I just stopped to think, that wouldn't have come out. It wouldn't have happened. So we need to ponder before we pour the words that come out of our mouth. We need to stop to think. But working with Terry Hippenhammer, who is a guy we've been working with in our policy governance, and one of the tendencies I have is to speak as I hear a little bit of silence and I'm waiting for the oversight council to talk. And Terry says, Wendell, you need to count to five. And I said, no, Terry, I probably need to count to 15 just to be real quiet and allow people to speak. So we need to think more. We need to hit the pause button. We need to take a deep breath and reflect before we respond. And I think if we do that, we can save ourselves a lot of trouble. So think more. Second one, much harder for some of us, talk less. Think more, talk less. Our chances of blowing it with our words are directly related to the amount of time we spend talking and letting everybody know how smart we are, right? Quakers have a saying filled with a lot of truth. Never break the silence unless you can improve on it. Isn't that awesome? Never break the silence unless you can improve on it. Abraham Lincoln was fond of saying this, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I think those are words of wisdom. We should all have on our desks, in our bedrooms, in our closets, wherever it is, we need to put it out there. Proverbs 10:19, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Prudent people are those who apply wisdom. Hold their tongues. Another translation says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. I know if I ask you, everyone would say, I want to be wise. Hold our tongues. The more we talk, the more we trespass. The less we talk, the wiser we are. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. That's Proverbs 17. This will be harder for some of us, This will be harder for some of you. It's mine. This is one for me very much. Number three, all right, think more, talk less, listen better. Listen better. Now, you think about how God wired us. He gave us two ears and one mouth. We spend more time talking than we do listening. We need to listen more. We need to just slow down and listen. But many times we just don't want to hear what other people are saying because we've got it all figured out. And we think we're so wise and we don't need anybody else's help. We need to listen and see what God has done as He even created us. Proverbs 15:31, whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Isn't it hard to be with someone who always wants to tell you everything you need to know and they never stop to listen to what you have to say to them? I don't want to be that person. I want to make sure I can stop and listen. And that means we just slow down. I think more, I talk less, and I listen better. Here's the fourth one. We need to encourage others. We need to encourage others. If you look around this room right now and you look at every person, you look at every set of eyes, I'll guarantee you this morning you will look at someone in this room who is very discouraged. There's stuff that's going on that no one else knows about. And maybe some of you do. But you look around and they're discouraged. They're hurting. And they don't even know what this day is going to bring about for them. The reality is God can use your words to breathe life into a person who is piled on by life's problems. Proverbs 15:4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. Hang in there. You're not alone. We're with you. God loves you. God is using this difficulty for your growth, to shape you, to mold you, to make you into who He wants you to be. Don't give up. He knows what He's doing. We need to speak words of encouragement. If you stop to think about all of your words last week, How many of them were words of encouragement? How many of them were words that you go, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I would have said it differently. I wish I would have said it in love instead of in pain. Someone said, it takes no size to criticize. I would say it takes a big person to encourage, to look beyond your own needs and look for somebody in a control. It'll help us to speak words that give life. Here's number five about this, speak gently. And maybe this is one that I would speak to husbands particularly, but it's to everybody. The scripture is written to everybody. But speak gently. One reason you may have a difficult time encouraging everyone is because you're known as someone who doesn't speak gently. Oh, I'm just telling them how I feel. Yeah, you're being a real jerk about it too. You don't speak gently. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. The truth is the truth, but how you say it is how someone will depend on how someone understands it. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The next time you're talking to someone who is really torqued, you want to blow them away? Instead of responding in turn in anger, give a gentle answer. Just give a gentle answer. Don't raise your voice. Don't, to get your point across, you haven't got to be like that person. You'll be much more effective, according to Proverbs 25:15. It says, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Harness the power of a gentle word. Gentle words are powerful. Very, very powerful. Someone said, keep your words soft and sweet. You never know when you may have to eat them. That makes a difference too, doesn't it? Finally, got that was a little slow coming, but that was good. Number six, cut others slack. Anybody need slack from other people as you live your life and speak? Yeah, there you go, Rich. Cut others slack. Most of us are way too tough on other people. Why? Because we expect perfection. Because we're so perfect? I'm not sure, but we do that. We expect perfection, we excuse our own behavior, our own actions. Many times because people do things differently than we think they should do it, we think they're wrong. They're not wrong, they're just different. And we grow grudges instead of giving grace because if they did it my way, it would be the right way. And all of a sudden we get angry at them, we hold stuff in. Proverbs 12:16, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Yeah, people say mean things. People are really tough. Let it go. I say that very easily because it's in my notes, because I know it's the right thing to do. It's not easy, is it? Let it go. Parents, pray for the way you respond to your kids when they don't do things the way you think they're supposed to. Remember that they're kids. Sometimes we talk to our kids like they're 30 years old and they're two, right? Let's give them some slack. Husbands and wives, cut slack for each other. Life would be so much more peaceful if we would just take a step back and let some of those things go. Cut others slack. About this, we talked about this earlier, avoid gossip. Remember, if they're talking about someone else, they're probably talking about you. Someone said a gossip is just a fool with a keen sense of rumor. That's what a gossip is, right? Proverbs says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Proverbs 16:28, a gossip separates close friends. All of a sudden, someone shared in secret and you pour it out to somebody else. I need to know that my name is safe when I speak to you, and you need to know that your name is safe when I'm speaking in another room. We need to be able to give that to each other. Here's something that's probably true every single time. The more interesting something is that they're telling you, the more likely it to be false. Because it kind of grows and grows and grows. One of the best ways to avoid gossip is simply to refuse to listen to it. Hey, did you hear that? Hey, stop. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about it. You need to go to that person. Scripture says you got out with a brother. Go to that brother. Stop them in the place. Please stop me if I am doing that. Oh, and here's how we do as Christians. Hey, I want you to pray for so-and-so. Did you know that? Be very careful. Be very, very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Number eight, if you want to control our tongue, we need to tell the truth. We want to be known as people who are truth tellers, no matter what the cost might be, because sometimes when we speak the truth, it's going to hurt us. My father always said, tell the truth. You might get spanked, but it's the right thing. And then, of course, it'll hurt me more than you, but I never believed that part, but that was all part of it too. Let's always tell the truth. Proverbs 12:17, an honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. Don't you value somebody who always tells the truth to you? You respect that person. You know what? They will respect us. Proverbs 16:13, kings take pleasure in honest lips, but they value a man who speaks the truth. God always requires us to speak the truth to others. He wants us to be able to do that. And sometimes the truth we speak might be that, hey, I'm concerned. I see something going on and that's hurtful. You're hurting your relationship with your spouse. You're hurting your relationship with your kids. You're really hurting your, it's a non-career enhancing thing that you're doing right now. You need to be very, very careful. Maybe God has got somebody in your life that you need to honestly speak the truth to. Be able to help them to get through what's going on. We also need to speak the truth to people about where they are with God and that God desires a relationship with them. Sometimes we get a little nervous about that, but our job is to be truth tellers about the gospel, that Jesus came, He lived perfectly and died for us so that He might take our punishment on the cross, so that we might have eternal life. The writer of Proverbs said it this way, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So let's speak the truth to people, they might see Jesus in us and through the words that we speak. Two more and we'll wrap up. If we want to speak truths that will have our words make a difference, we need to stop boasting. Stop boasting. Anybody love to hear a boaster talk? Well, you should hear about how good I did what I did, because I am awesome. I just love to spend time around a campfire with those people. It's so much fun. Proverbs 25:27, it's not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to search out matters that are too deep. It's not good. Sit around people and say, look how good I am. If you feel a need to honk your horn, unplug the wire, all right? Unplug it. Someone else will honk your horn if it needs to be honked. God will honk the horn that needs to be honked. He knows and He sees. When you feel yourself starting to talk about what you've done, look for ways to give credit to somebody else, because usually you didn't get there by yourself and it was other people. So let's be very careful. And one last one. Don't quarrel. Don't quarrel. Proverbs 17:14. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Stop. Drop the matter. We would have a lot more peace in our families, in our church, in our workplaces if we refused to quarrel over some of the things that we quarrel about, which most of them are just ridiculous, right? So instead of engaging in a disagreement, which can turn into this big tidal wave of conflict, let's work at just letting things go. Letting it go. It comes, I think, also with cutting each other slack. God values community, the ability for us to come together and dwell together in peace, much more than He does with us being right about something. Proverbs 23, it's to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Let's not be foolish. So why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for us to do all of those things and even more? Why is it so hard to control our tongues? It's because our tongues are connected to our heart. And out of our heart are the things that we speak. In fact, Jesus gives us some insight in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, and Matthew 15:19. Here's what He says. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lies, and slander. So our words are nothing more than a public pronouncement of the private place of our heart. You go, ooh, I don't like that. But it's true. It's what in here are the things that come out. Another way to say it is our words really reflect our true character about who we are, at least by ourselves. Maybe we act better on others. So let me wrap up four little action steps that we can take. If your tongue has done damage, if you have hurt, make things right away, as soon as you can. It would be nice to hit the undo button and everything goes backward. Doesn't happen that way, does it? But God has given us this wonderful thing called repentance, where we come to Him and we confess our sin and we say, God, I'm sorry. The very reason you went to the cross is because of my behavior. And I need your help to turn around. And then to make restoration, I can go to a person and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. If you've hurt people, if you've run from a situation and never made it right because of words that you said, repent. That's all God wants us to do. Repent and go to that person or those people and see if there's something you can do to bring about restoration. God wants us to be in unity, right? The other thing is every morning, yield your tongue to God. Yield your tongue to God. I don't know if you ever woke up and said, Lord, my tongue now belongs to you. I want you to have control and power over it. It kind of relates to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 when he talked about submitting or offering the parts of our body not to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather using our body, and it couldn't actually be our tongue, to be able to bring Him honor and to bring Him praise. Lord, I want you to use my tongue to please you, to build others up, to proclaim your goodness. And sometimes it's saying, Holy Spirit, I just need your help today because my tongue is not doing what you want it to do. So let's wake up in the morning and yield our tongue. And if you need help with that, one of the biggest things you can do is you can ask God for a new heart. If we want to stop using death words and begin using words of life, we need to make sure that we have a new heart, which is only something that Jesus can do for us. And then allow the Holy Spirit to come in and make us brand new. And as Christians, continually walking in obedience to Him. Only God can give us the power to use our words in a way that honor Him and please Him, to be able to build up instead of tear down. And my prayer is for us here at Pompey that we would speak words of life, that we would speak words that help people to know how loved they are, how much God loves them, and that we love them. So would you bow your heads with me? I thank you, God, so very much for your words, the words that we have that you gave to us in the Bible, words that we wake up in the morning and don't even think about opening up that book to read and to know you more. Father, we're grateful. We thank you that your word is what makes us who we are today. And I thank you, Lord, that you have spoke life into us. And I pray, Lord, the lives that we live would reflect who you are. And Lord, people would hear the words we say and would point that out to them. So we are thankful. I pray that you just help us to go out of here, think about the use of our words and our tongue, and may we speak words of life. We love you, Jesus, and it's your name that we pray. Amen.